Proverbs chapter 1, I'm going to be reading verse 10. Says, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this verse here. It's fairly obvious, right? Doesn't get into anything complicated. It sort of like goes without saying, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Sort of like saying, if the stove is hot, pull your hand away. You know, something real simple. And it makes a whole lot of sense. Amen. But some things that go without saying need to be repeated constantly.
Yes, sir.
In fact, an awful lot of things that go without saying need to be repeated constantly. And that's because of a lot of reasons. Because we have a tendency to forget, and we have a tendency to ignore, and we have a tendency to do what's bad for us. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the appeal of sin. The appeal of sin on us, which is sort of confusing, why sin is appealing to us. Then I want to talk about the enticement of sinners. And that is that there are sinners that are stalking you and stalking your children and deceiving you, and they are out to get you to follow their footsteps, and it's not a good way to go. And then I want to talk about the elements of consent. Because you might be surprised what consent includes. And then I'm going to talk about the reality of choice. And that is that you have a choice. So let's ask the Lord to bless us. Lord, we just lack the words to reach the heart to truly change a sinner from his ways. And we just know that it's your Holy Spirit that talked to us and brought us out of our foolishness and our confusion. And we appreciate so much how you talked to us when it was time. And we ask you to talk to souls today, this morning, Lord. Perhaps you've got someone here you've been dealing with, Lord, I ask you to carry your truth all the way to the heart. And bless us as Christians trying to live for you and understand your word. Bless our time this morning, Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. First of all, I want to talk about the appeal of sin. Why is sin attractive? Why is doing things that hurt us appealing? It has to be a mental illness. There has to be something wrong with us. For example, if you touch a stove and it's hot and it burns you, would you touch it again? Well, no. But you can sin and it will burn you and you'll go back and do it again. That's what it says about alcohol, doesn't it? Doesn't it say that alcohol, they will feel like they've been beaten up, they will vomit, they will be sick, it'll be all kinds of things wrong with them, they will suffer all the way through, and then all night long they won't be able to sleep, and it's just horrible, but in the morning they go seek it again. That's what the Bible says. It's amazing. Why? Why? You know, nobody likes pain. But sin is pain. Nobody likes anguish, but sin is anguish. Nobody likes death, but sin is death.
Amen.
Nobody likes loneliness, but sin is loneliness. Nobody likes depression, but sin is depression. Why is it appealing to us? Why are we susceptible? Why are we vulnerable? What is it about us that will cause us to do what harms us and to hurts us? To say something in a short term might be enjoyable, but in the long term it's destructive and it's horrible. And yet we'll choose to do it anyway. You know it's in your heart. You know that's the way you are. It's the way I am. It's the way every single person that gets born into this life, children of Adam and Eve, it's the way we are. Well, the Bible has a simple answer. It's called original sin. Something happened and our natures got corrupted when Adam did his deed. When Adam did it. Now, I don't profess to understand this doctrine very well, and I don't know how it happened. I just believe the Bible, and the Bible says that happened. The Bible said that by the offense of one, many were made sinners. By the offense of one, many were made sinners. And so we received something from our father, Adam, that caused us to do things that harm us, to be attracted to things that are bad for us. Now, you admit it. Just admit it. You are attracted to things that are bad for you. You have a desire to do things that harm you. Right?
Amen.
I mean, that's just the way we all are. Amen. We just need to admit it. We need to just agree with God and say, all right, God, I have a serious problem. Now, I deal with young people all the time who have serious problems. Some of them are self-destructive. They're self-harming. They will cut themselves. They will bite themselves. They will beat their heads against the wall. And people, professionals, are at their wit's end trying to help them. Do not know what to do. And yet I find that all of us are somewhat like that. We think of people like that as mentally unhealthy. Right? And that's mentally unhealthy. If you're harming yourself, well, that's obviously not in your best interest. That's not a self-preservation principle. You are doing something that harms you. Why would you do something that harms you? Why would you do something to make sure you die off young? What? But we do. We do. We choose it. We choose against God constantly. And you know, when we look at the commandments in the Bible, the commandments in the Bible are to give us long life. And prosperous, to make us prosperous, to make us enjoy life and see good days. And the commandments in the Bible are to give us good fellowship and good families and strong relationships and good solid business principles. All of the commandments in the Bible are for our good, and yet we resist them. And whatever goes against God's commandments, we hunger for. We pine after. And if we, by some stroke of faith, we say, I'm going to try to follow God's will. Even the rest of your life trying to follow God's will, you'll find that you are attracted to what is not God's will. How does the songwriter say it? He says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It's in you. It's all the way in you. It's down in your very depths of your soul. And when somebody says they have overcome sin, I can guarantee you they're wrong. It's still in them. And you need to also consider what it means about guilt when you are attracted to do things that God hates. Just the fact that you are tempted proves something's wrong with you. And I don't think that all temptation is sin just because you're tempted. However, some things, just because you're attracted to them, proves that you are still a deep, wicked sinner.
Amen.
There is an appeal to sin. You parents ought to recognize it. Your children are attracted to sin. Your children are vulnerable to the deceit of sin. And they will want to go that way. And you have to go to some extra links, some strong, hard steps in your children's lives in order to help them overcome that desire for sin. Do not believe this nonsense that's nowadays spread around that the way kids are is just natural and normal and you just got to let them be. No, the Bible says your kids are aimed wrong. They want what God doesn't want. They want what hurts themselves. And so what you've got to do is you've got to help them overcome their weaknesses. You've got to teach them how to repress their natural urges. Now, there are psychiatrists and psychologists that will tell you that that's repressive, that's archaic, that's old-fashioned, that's old-school, and that it's wrong, and that now new scientific techniques, and they call Freud a scientist. Bless his heart. He writes entire books to justify his own incest. The guy was an atheist. He was a godless man who rejected everything about God and hated religion, hated Roman Catholicism, and did everything he could in order to justify his own sin. He was not a scientist, but they'll tell you nowadays that what we know now is that you're never supposed to spank a kid, and you're never supposed to tell them that they're acting stupid, and you're never supposed to... Positive reinforcement. Just tell them good things. Tell them nice things. Well, you know, the Bible has a little different way. The Bible tells you, don't spare that rod. Let them know they've got to control themselves. Put some demand on your children so that they can get some self-control and some character and say, I got to fight my own nature. Did you know you got to fight your own nature?
Amen.
You got to fight what's in your heart. You've got to wrestle against it. And if you've never learned how to wrestle against what your own desires are, then you're going to fall into terrible sin and self-destructive behavior. And now we've got people saying, well, if it's natural and it's normal, it's okay, it's right, and nobody can judge me. I got news for you. He's telling you here, you got to make some judgments. My son, if sinners entice thee, oh, what a negative guy. What a negative guy. He calls some people sinners. Well, now we are all sinners in some way, right?
Yes, sir.
Aren't we all sinners?
Yes, sir.
So we're admitting we're sinners. We admit that we all understand the appeal of sin. How is he distinguishing then between sinners and us? Because he's obviously talking about somebody else out there. If sinners entice you, you just got to not consent. All right, so how do we determine? What is the difference? Well, the main difference is repentance. The main difference is agreeing with God, saying, okay, that behavior is sinful, so I reject it.
Amen.
Not because we have so much power against this appeal and this temptation. And everybody who has a temptation will fall once in a while. It's just a normal thing. So we're not saying we're without sin. And when it comes to eternal life and the merits of heaven and having the right to go with God, nobody ever has that right. We are all sinners and condemned because of our sin. But here he's distinguishing between sinners who disagree or disregard God's will in favor of their own will and are not repentant about it. And he makes a point. He says, if sinners entice thee. Now, you parents need to teach your children some things that seem obvious. You need to talk about some things that you might think are unnecessary to talk about. Maybe even embarrassing to talk about. You need to talk about them because this is what he's saying. You know what Solomon is telling his son here is, I'm afraid for you, son. I'm afraid because there are some deceivers out there and they want to deceive you into going down these other roads. And I'm afraid I have to repeat something over and over and over again to you so that you will overcome when they try to entice you. You understand the concept of enticement, right? It's making things appear appealing and desirable that might not be quite as desirable. It's an enticement. And they focus on your emotions, and they focus on your physical senses, and they focus on your fears, and they might even try to reason with you with an abstract reasoning, and they'll try to give you some anecdotal whatever, and what they try to do is get you to do something that you don't want to do. They're enticing you. Do you know the world is full of all these enticing sinners?
Yes. Yeah.
They're all over the place. Did you know they're in your elementary schools?
Yes, sir.
I know some of you are school teachers and you probably have a better opinion of the school you're teaching at than you ought to. But there's an awful lot of junk going on in our schools teaching our kids what they should not be teaching our kids.
Yes, sir.
And you think it's bad now, you wait till the next generation. It's coming. You can just go to some other states, go up there in Massachusetts where they have in elementary school little books that they force these little kids to read. It says, my home has two mommies. Or my home has two daddies. Now why do they have to do that? Well, because they're sinners. And they got to entice you. And they want to prove to you that they're okay. And that nobody can judge them wrong. Well, as God says, some things are wrong, just simply wrong. You're going to have to make a judgment about it.
Amen.
And you're going to have to call sin, sin.
Amen.
Even if it feels good to you.
Amen.
Even if it's normal for you. Someone says, well, you know, I was born this way. I know there are drunks that say they were born that way. But they weren't born drunk. They might have been born with a predisposition. They're homosexuals, say they were born that way. Well, they weren't born having sex. You see, you've got to agree, God, you're right, and I'm wrong.
Amen.
And whatever you say goes, and I'm going to agree with you.
Amen.
And if you don't do that, you're one of the sinners. And if you go around enticing people, then you're the one he's talking against. There is an enticement of sinners. Did you know that people are stalking your children? They are all the time. I'm talking about school teachers and professors. I'm talking about Hollywood celebrities. They're enticing your children right now. They're stalking them. They've given up on you. They don't care about you. They're after your children. They know you're old-fashioned. They will actually just write you off. They write off all kinds of old-fashioned conservative Christians. They say, well, they're not old-fashioned, but they're going after their children. And their children are falling.
Amen.
They're falling like flies. Why? Because the children are enticed and they're deceived. Why do you think Solomon is saying, my son, don't be deceived by these people. They are deceiving you. Yeah, teachers, advertisers. Advertisers on television, they're trying to fool your children. You look at it and you say, oh, you sorry, no good for nothing people that try to say these things. But your kids aren't looking at it like that. Your kids are looking at it saying, oh, yeah, that's cool. That's cool, dude. That's neat. That's how they are. They don't know. They don't have your sense of judgment on this. They weren't raised in a more pure society. They're mixed up in all kinds of trash nowadays. And so you got advertisers and Hollywood celebrities and even politicians trying to tell you lies in order to fool your children. And oh yeah, they're lying. They're lying. You see, they'll tell you something that's absolutely untrue. They will tell you what is absolutely untrue. But even more than that, they're deceivers. And that is, they will not tell you something that is true. I heard a spokesman for Planned Parenthood the other day talking about women's health care. Like pregnancy is a disease. Now what they are is abortion clinics. Planned Parenthood is abortion clinics. And what they're worried about is reducing people's access to abortion. But they don't ever say that. They never talk about abortion. They talk about health care. Why? Because they're deceivers. Because they are liars. Because they are enticing people to take their side of something that is absolutely indefendable. Health care would worry about the health of that poor little baby. Because the only one in danger in those clinics is the baby. Liars, deceivers, proud, boasters, self-promoters, they're liars. If sinners entice thee. That's why I won't ever call homosexuals gay. Because it's a lie. It's a lie. They came up with that on their own and they're just saying, well, we want to describe it in some other way. Well, why? Why don't you just tell the truth about it? Because homosexuality is disgusting. It's dysfunctional, it's self-destructive, and it's disgusting. Don't lose your disgust. Christian, don't ever lose your disgust. Oh yeah, you're going to get in trouble. Pretty soon they're going to pass their non-discrimination ordinances, and they're going to subpoena our sermons, and then they're going to fine us, or they're going to put us in jail like they've done in Canada, because we won't back down. We keep telling the truth about it. It doesn't stop being disgusting just because you get used to it. That's right. A lot of times they don't even know their own motivations. A whole lot of these people don't know their own motivations. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. All right, there's another one. And that is, what constitutes consent? I think we would all agree that consent means agreement. If you consent, you're in agreement, right? So that if you agree with homosexuality, well, then you've consented. But did you know that consent also is acquiescence? I know that's a big word. And I'm not even college educated, folks. It's a big word. Acquiescence means you reluctantly go along. You don't have to really be in agreement. You just think, what's the big deal? I don't really like that. I don't really want that. You know how many kids are in jail right now? In jail, in little teenage prison right now because they just went along. Amen. They just went along. This week I had several go to prison just because of that. Why? They were just there. They didn't have a gun. They didn't know that guy was going to go into that heist house and rob the store and shoot the clerk. They didn't know. But when he comes running out and says, punch it, you drove off, didn't you? Now you're in prison. Why? Acquiescence. You just allow things to move on along. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That means don't reluctantly go along. That means you're going to have to stand up and say no. In fact, anything less than no is consent. Yeah, that is true. Come on, folks. That is absolutely true. Acquiescence is consent. Let me tell you what else is consent. Tolerance. If you say, let's live and let live. Just let everybody do their own thing, and we won't bother you, and you don't bother us. That's consent. You say, nah, I think I'm going to argue about that. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and argue about that. You find out that is consent. Someday God's going to tell you, you were in consent. You consented to let them do anything they wanted. And you just shut your mouth and let them have their way. That's right. And let me tell you, if you are tolerant of people talking to your kids about trash and sin like that, you are the one consenting. You see, because you're the parent. Who's going to defend that kid if you don't?
Amen. Amen.
I wish I could, but I can't save your kids. I can't teach them. I can't watch them. You have to. You have to.
Amen.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You can't tolerate this stuff. You can't just put up with it. You can't just be all quiet and meek. You know what else is consent? Silence. Like that Protestant pastor during the Nazi years. You remember that Protestant pastor, Niemöller? He said, well, when they came for the socialists, well, I didn't speak up because, well, I was not a socialist. And when they came for the trade unionists, well, I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. And when they came for the Jews, well, I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. And when they came for me, there was nobody left to speak up.
That's right.
Silence is consent. Believe it or not. That was Lot. Silent.
Yeah. Amen.
Just don't pick at him. Just leave him alone. Just be quiet. Keep your cool. Don't rock the boat. You know it. And it seems like it's a wise thing to do. But what the Bible says is that's consent. You are allowing somebody else to do something without you saying a word about it. Because you don't want to be considered judgmental, holier than thou. And you don't want to be a pariah and somebody looked down upon. And you want to keep your own popularity. And you ought to consider all these kind of motivations that you've got for shutting your mouth and letting other people just do whatever they want. And let me tell you the reason why you got to speak. And that's because they're speaking. See, if you're going to defend your children and they're speaking to entice them, you've got to speak. That's what he's doing right here. He's not silent. He says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He's not consenting. Teach your children. We're not consenting. When somebody says this is the way we ought to be, or this is okay, you've got to say no. You know that's kind of a horsey kind of a way to be, right? That's disagreeable. You got to learn how to disagree. Did you know you got to learn how to disagree? You got to be a dissenter. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to disagree. Let me talk to you about the reality of choice, because I want to tell you, you're having a choice here. You can make a choice. Did you know you are alone responsible for your decisions? Your parents aren't responsible for your decisions. I don't care if you had the worst parents in the world. You had a deadbeat dad that abandoned you and left you alone. You got the worst parents in the world. Your mama was a pothead. Yeah, she didn't take care of you. You were farmed around from one foster parent to another. You get to the point and you start making decisions. You alone are responsible for your decisions. And when someone entices you, consent thou not. Did you know you can say no? It's a good word to learn.
Help us, Lord. Amen.
Just say no.
Amen.
Just say no. No. I'll do that watching television every so often. I just say no. Somebody think I'm spastic, but I'm not spastic. I'm just irritated. I say no. I don't like it. In fact, that's my favorite word. No. No. Except with Mila. Except with Mila. No, that is my favorite word. I like to say no. I like to disagree. I even disagree with the dictionary. Now, I don't know why that makes you laugh. Dictionaries are wrong. Quite often. And you know how I know? Because I got lots of dictionaries. And they disagree with each other. Hey, I'm not kidding you. They disagree with each other. Dictionaries sometimes get it wrong. It ain't going to hurt you to disagree. Have an opinion. Maybe have a backbone.
Amen.
Disagree. Disagree. You can disagree with evolution.
Amen.
It's a lie. It's a bunch of hokum. It's not even a reasonable hypothesis. It's fact. It's stupid. It's stupid. The potter telling the the clay telling the potter, now why'd you make me this way? I mean, that's stupid. Isn't that stupid? You don't have to believe in evolution. And somebody says, well, you know, we evolved. No, that's not true. That's a bunch of hokum. That's a bunch of hokum. You ought to see people separate from me when I was at the Grand Canyon. So I'm looking at that and say, that's a bunch of hokum. And man, people are starting to back away. It's nonsense. That's nonsense. I went over there to the petrified forest and they had these explanations of how these trees became rocks. They fell down by the riverbank and they laid there and they got covered over by silt and blah, 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 blah. No! We're talking about hundreds of square miles of huge trees that are all petrified. That didn't happen by a riverside. That happened in a flood.
Amen.
Needless to say, it made people some uncomfortable there, but you can disagree. It doesn't hurt you to disagree. You can disagree about abortion.
That's right. Amen.
You can just tell somebody, hey, you're wrong. Abortion is you're killing a baby that should have an opportunity to live. And if you're worried about health care, try to keep that baby healthy. Just try. And stop lying about it. If what you want to do is keep abortion clinics open, just tell us that. Why don't you just stand up, you Planned Parenthood lady. Stand up and say, I want to keep abortion clinics open. Just tell the truth. And if you got to lie about it, you need to rethink what you're lying about. Because it's a lie. It's a deceit. And it's a bad motivation. And you are lying because you are a sinner and you don't care about God's law or God's will or God's word. You can disagree with abortion. You can disagree with homosexual marriage. It's not only immoral, it's stupid.
It is.
It's stupid. That's not even smart. The only reason they're doing it is in order to shame us. So they get a little bit of legal standing so they can write non-discrimination ordinances in order to shame Christians. But Christians are telling you the truth. Christians are standing up and saying, that's not right. Homosexual marriage is disgusting. Homosexual marriage is not moral. And homosexual marriage is stupid. You can disagree with marijuana. I know. You say, well, I'm a libertarian and I think we ought to... Oh, we got this guy running for president who is a pothead. And he's basically lost his mind. He can't really speak well. He's just got that lot of loose kind of a way of being. Poor guy. Why can't you just disagree with marijuana? Now, I realize some people need some help and some kinds of pains and whatever. And so they want to legalize medical marijuana, whatever. I hate marijuana. I hate it. Why don't you disagree with something? I disagree with worldly music. Yeah, I disagree with Halloween. Yeah, I do. I disagree with it. How about that? That offend you? Good. Good. I disagree with it. I disagree with no-fault divorce. I disagree with gambling. I disagree with the Texas lottery. Stand up and disagree with something. Have a backbone. You know what he says? He says, consent thou not. God is trying to get a bunch of people that have a backbone to stand up and say, I disagree. All the best things in the world that have happened to our societies and our lives and that have blessed us even in our lives are people standing up and saying, slavery's wrong. It's wrong. And a whole lot of them were killed because they stood up and said it. Killed. But it was wrong. And I don't think we ought to have a Confederate flag hanging over our place. Why? Well, because they were wrong. Stand up and say they were wrong. Don't get all conservative on me. You can disagree with alcohol.
Amen.
You can disagree with communism. You can disagree with atheism. You can disagree with liberalism and leftism and socialism. You can disagree. You just plain disagree. Hey, you can just stand up and say, I disagree. You'll probably go to jail. But I want to get one more point across, and that is, what we're talking about here really is a life decision of agreement with God and disagreement with sinners. And that's the only thing that's going to save you. I want you to know, I want you to understand that a spontaneous sinner's prayer is not what saves you. It's a life decision to agree with God and disagree with sinners. It's an acceptance of God's word and His will and His ways. And saying, I want to be on God's side. I don't have any merits. I don't have any rights, but God offered to let me on His side. And I want to be on His side. And if you're not willing to make that life decision, that hard decision where you say, I'm going to agree with God and I'm going to disagree with sinners.
Yes.
If you're not willing to do that, you will not be saved. Jesus is not paying for your sins if you don't repent of your sins. If you like the way you live, you like the way you're doing, you like being drunk on weekends, yeah? You like shacking up and you don't care what the Bible says about marriage, yeah? You like homosexuality and you think if just because it's natural and you were born that way, that then that's a good excuse and you just keep on doing it, then you're going to lose your soul. You'll wind up in hell judged by a righteous God who told you what He liked and what He didn't like and told you you had to do what He liked. Now, the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross in order to make a way for sinners to come to Him and agree with Him, oh, that's beautiful.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Amen.
You see, because we're all sinners, and all we got to do is come to Him and say, I'm sorry, Lord, I was wrong.
Amen.
And now I disagree with all that, and now I agree with You.
Amen.
Whatever You say, God.
Amen.
Isn't that what Paul said? What would Thou have me to do? Wasn't that a change of attitude?
Amen.
It's not what you want to do. How about you, God? What do you want me to do? You see, that's what salvation is. It's a heart decision, and you have a choice. You have a choice. Look, I believe in election. I really do. I believe in the Bible's doctrine of election. I believe that God goes to some extreme lengths to save certain people, and I think it has to do with intercession for them and connections to other people. I know God does this. I know He does, but I want you to know, if you hear the gospel, it's your choice.
Amen.
You can choose. You don't have to say, oh, there's nothing I can do. That's why He says, consent thou not with the sinners. You got to turn your whole life. You got to go back to God. You got to say, God, whatever You say, I want Your will. I want Your way. Teach me, Lord.
Yeah.
Let me follow You. Because that's what salvation is. Now, we got a whole lot of people who claim to be Christians and do not agree with God. They go to church because church fills them, makes them feel good. There's an awful lot of positive reinforcement behind pulpits nowadays. And there's a lot of people who can get an awful lot from church and they don't ever get the real gospel. They don't ever get the salvation of their souls. Why? Well, because church is offering so much more. All churches all over the place are offering a whole lot more than the gospel. And so a whole lot of people are going to church and they don't get it. But if you want to be saved, you're going to have to agree with God. You're going to have to say, I'm wrong and God is right. I disagree with sinners. And I agree with God.
Yes.
And by the way, if you disagree with sinners and agree with God, you're going to come out winning in the long term.
Amen.
You're not going to win in the short term, perhaps, but you're going to win in the long term. And that's what God is asking you to do. Listen to me. If you haven't made that decision, if you have never made that decision that you're going to follow God's will, you're going to agree with God and disagree with sinners. If you don't make that decision truly before you and God, where you actually come to God and commit your way to Him and say, this is a life decision I'm making to go with God and reject the way of sinners. If you don't do that, you will lose your soul. But you don't have to.
Amen.
You see, you can just say, I'm going to agree with God. I'm going to reject the way of sinners and I'm going to take what the Bible says and I'm going to follow God's will and I'm going to be His servant. I'm going to be His bride. I'm going to belong to Him and I'm going to agree with Him. If you do that, Jesus Christ says He would save you. He would remember you at the last day. He would raise you up at the last day. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It's a promise to those who agree with God. Come to God, give yourself to God, give yourself to Him. Let's pray.